We should be so grateful to the Lord for the teaching of St. Paul, which helps to open up for us what it is we're supposed to be vigilant about. You know, vigilant, well, he's going to come back, okay, but probably not today. But you see, the idea of having your loins girt means, you know, controlling all your passions, anger, lust, jealousy, fear, whatever, because they scatter you. And waiting for the Lord. Why? Well, he saved us from sin. If you look at the colossal mess we're in right now, despite the fact of his presence among us, despite the fact of the many saints that are still among us, in whom the Lord lives, can you imagine what sin really is? I mean, look at the devastation, the hatred, the self-indulgence, the greed, all set loose through one man. Sin entered the world. And that sin, you have to spell with a capital S. It's the whole complex of energies and drives. Huh? They can be economic, military, societal, political, intellectual, emotional, personal, and ultimately demonic. That whole combination is sin. That's what sin is. Now we cooperate in that. That's sin with a capital S. See? And what we do is sin with a small s. So when it tells us later on in the letter here, Paul is going to say, our Lord died to sin. The death he died to sin. Well, he didn't die from sinning. He never sinned. But all that power of the evil, he died to it. Then he rose and broke its back. And so this is an illusion that these governments, these powers, the United Nations, you know, now it's just become another propaganda organ for abortion. It was just a huge congress in London was supposed to be on women's health and women's rights, and the whole thing was a manifesto for abortion. It was an absolute travesty. That's organized, you see. That's part of this complex that I'm talking about, which is sin. So too, you count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, you can see that we connive in a lot of those things, don't we? We're not all in our being opposed to that, stopping its advance, saving people from it, preaching the gospel. We connive in that. And that's what he's going to talk to us about. This is chapter 5 that I'm just quoting from, selections from it, verses from it. Then tomorrow we're going to start, huh? Well, then what shall we do? Go on sinning so grace could more abound? You know how that, you know, begins. Absolutely not. Don't you understand that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? We have been baptized, the thing we, you know, we do with little kids, and we go home and have a party and we stop. Don't think what just happened to that child. They were grafted into the living divine nature of Jesus Christ himself. And now we have power. We don't have to live that way. What a mercy. Well, you see, I think that vision helps us to open up and try to begin to plumb the depths of what our Lord is saying. Be on the watch. Remember who you are. Remember what's happened to you. And remember the consequences, the options, you know. Where is the world? And we're supposed to be worrying about that. preaching about it, caring about it. You see? I mean, but that means being alert. But look what he says to us, huh? Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. That's not only at the hour of death for us, for Paul yesterday. It was when we woke up this morning. Are we vigilant? Is our heart praying, searching, looking, you know, repenting? That's what it means to be vigilant. What does he say the Lord will do? Now remember, in chapter 17 of Luke, we have, and so the servant who does all that he's supposed to do when he comes in from the field, and the master doesn't say, sit down. He says, wait on me. And here's the exact opposite. You remember that, huh? And then, and when you've done all that, say we are unprofitable servants. Absolutely. We're lucky to be servants at all. But here we have the other side of it. He will have them reclined at table and proceed to wait on them. That's what he does for us every morning. He waits on us. That's an intimation of one dimension of heaven that we keep forgetting. He cares for us. He waits on us. He's going to feed us on himself for eternity. And so, should he come today on the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. And so you see what it means to be, to have our loins girt, to be ready. Light your lamp means to start thinking. Now you don't have to think all day, like, but we have to be alert all day. What's really going on? And to do that in a way that is peaceful and full of hope. It doesn't do any good to get scared, to say, oh, the world's going to end. Well, it's going to end sometime, but I don't think soon. But to have an eye, what are the issues, you see? And then to look. Look for all the signs of the new springtime. What is the Lord's answer to this incredible mess? I mean, imagine the United Nations set up with all that goodwill and idealism to find to have a place where there were differences could be resolved, where there could be a way for the poor to be taken care of in a concerted way. Oh, it was very beautiful. Still is in its idealism. But what is it all about now? Abortion. All over the world. Why? Why? Is abortion that important? It's become that point, that rallying point. If you agree that abortion is wrong, then you agree that there is a God and that he has the right to tell us what to do. And if you don't want to do that, then you're for abortion. And I remember at a meeting up in New York of the evangelicals and Catholics together, and I said that at the meeting. I said, the issue back there in Washington is not abortion. It's not poor old Bush, you know. It is, no God is going to tell me what to do. And Chuck Colson stood up, pounded on the table, said, that's absolutely right. And he moves all day in that world, right? So how do we, you see, gird your loins, that is, stop chasing all your emotions. Light your lamps, begin to think, and await. So that when the Master comes and visits you today, starting right here at this Eucharist, He will set the table. He will put out the food. And He will wait on you. That's a whole dimension of heaven we already have at this Eucharist and can have during the day. He will come to our aid. He will help us whatever we need today.